This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Sellers Points. You are here with your favorite one and a half gingers to talk about some comics coming up in 2017. Now, I, of course, am one of your hosts, Russell Sellers, and with me, as always, is the whole ginger in our one and a half equation, Mr. Kelly Poole. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Oh, you know, I'm still kind of in recovery mode. Not unlike one of our other Place to Be Nation cohorts, Mr. Greg Phillips. I, too, came down with a nasty bit of sickness just at the start of the new year and have been medicated for that for the last few days. It's clearing up, but it's still not what I would like it to be. So if there's some coughing or some disgusting gurgling phlegm noises, I apologize in advance for that. But that is a distinct possibility on this show. But what else is a distinct possibility of the show, other than me completely tripping over my words? Because that's just normal. We will be talking about all of our favorite things in comics and comic book-based media, because that's what we do here on this show. But this show is, not unlike the last one, going to be completely focused on the topic of the year, but in this case, the year ahead. Last show, we talked about 2016, our favorite things to come out of that year. And now, we're going to be talking about 2017. Now, of course, we don't know everything that's coming up in 2017 because, well, it just started. But we have heard about a great many things, and there's a lot of stuff to be excited about in 2017 so far. I mean, everybody seems to be gearing up for a pretty big year as far as comics and comic book TV and movies are concerned. So I feel like we have a lot to talk about, Kelly, and hopefully we can do it in a concise enough manner that people aren't sitting here for the next, 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
Because that's, I mean, that's been our usual, but we get the sense that maybe the day of the epic podcast is over. I mean, I don't know, but I guess we can just go to something a little bit of a shorter format this time, just to spice things up a bit. So, with that, Kelly, let's dive right into comics of 2017, because I think the people are ready to talk about what's coming up, and I think we should start with our bread and butter, and that would be DC Comics. So, is there anything that's really stood out to you that you've heard about coming up in 2017, or something that you'd really like to see out of DC this year, this coming up year?
As far as DC goes, the first series that kind of comes to mind is Super Sons. That's the one I'm really, really excited to see. The Justice League of America series, and Batwoman is getting her own series again, isn't she?
Yes, Marguerite Bennett will be heading that one up. Also,
those are three that I can think of.
All three of those are big on my list as well. I've been reading the JLA one shots. I just read JLA Vixen Rebirth. I thought it was pretty good. Not as strong as the Atom, but
but
still a good intro to the character, and makes me think that she's going to be a strong asset to the Justice League of America team. And I just also read the newest issue of Detective Comics that has the first of a two-parter story called Batwoman Begins.
Mm-hmm. Did that too.
Strong effort. Very strong showing from Marguerite Bennett and Ben Oliver. But Steve Epting will actually be the regular artist on Batwoman whenever that starts up next month. I'm right there with you. Very much looking forward to it. Any other possibilities stick out to you?
DC-wise, I know, like, they're going to be doing the Jeff Johns is what doing his Watchmen. He's going to be doing a Watchmen story, I think.
He did tease that on Twitter. And as Greg and Nick pointed out on Hard Traveling Fanboys, it's also possible that he's not, maybe not publishing that this year, but maybe just starting to write it this year. And
well, it's interesting regardless whether it comes out or, I mean, with him dabbling with the Watchmen characters or the Watchmen mythos or whatever, it's definitely would be in good hands. And then, like, the Earth One, I think they're going to do some new Earth One books this year.
I have heard that. We know that Francis Manapal was supposed to be writing and drawing Aquaman Earth One. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Jeff Johns and Gary Frank have talked on and off about Batman Earth One Volume 3.
Yeah.
So those two, I would say, have the strongest possibility of actually happening in 2017 if any new Earth One books come out. But I hope they do, because Earth One has been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed all of the books that have come out of that to varying degrees, some better than others, but it still is something that needs to happen. Like, we need especially another volume of Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that's been the best one so far. But another thing coming up, speaking of, like, Rebirth and the overall story, is a Batman and Flash crossover is going to be happening in April called The Button, which is going to be finally Batman and Barry Allen, the two best detectives in DC Comics, getting together to investigate what we all know was the comedian's button that Batman found in the Batcave.
Yeah.
And I am very excited about that crossover. It's supposed to be a four-parter through the month of April between the two titles. And you'll have Tom King and Joshua Williamson working together. It all sounds absolutely amazing. Jason Fabok is coming back to draw Batman. And Howard Porter will be drawing Flash for those issues. I mean, he's a classic Flash artist. There is a lot to love about that just in the creative teams alone. So I'm very, very excited about the possibilities for that. And I'm curious what they're going to find out, you know, about the button. You know, is the comedian around in the larger DC universe and maybe, like, hiding in plain sight? Could it be that, you know, some people have theorized that he's one of the three Jokers that Jeff Johns teased back in Justice League number 50. And, you know, honestly, I have no idea. I have no idea where this is going, but I am incredibly excited to find out what's going to come next. And that DC is not stepping away or shying away from pushing that Rebirth story forward. Because mm-hmm. that's something that I was kind of worried about for a little while, that they would do this, they would lay all this big groundwork, and it would be great for foundationals, foundational building for each of the characters in the books. But this big idea that Jeff Johns had put out there about, you know, Dr. Manhattan, about the Watchmen characters, would be pushed to so far to the back burner that it might almost be forgotten about. But that doesn't seem to be the case. It seems like they're keeping that right out front. So a lot of those fears for me have been alleviated.
Also got to mention Wildstorm.
Yes.
Wildstorm should be picking up in 17 as well.
I'm right there with you, man. I am adding that to my pull list, especially, you know, Warren Ellis coming back to handle that universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. that's must buy comics, or at least, you know, go and check it out. Been a little while since we've seen anything really good out of Wildstorm. Not that some of their characters haven't had time to shine in 2016 and even early this year, like the Midnighter and Apollo miniseries has been really good. I've enjoyed the hell out of that. And Midnighter's previous series from Steve Orlando, who's going to be doing Justice League of America, also very good. But I can kind of see how they would want to take the Wildstorm characters and put them in their own universe and allow them to do their own things. And from what we understand, it is not connected to the larger DC universe. It's like it's not related to Rebirth at all. Even though like DC's other imprint, its other new imprint, Young Animal, actually is. And I've been reading Mother Panic out of that, and it has had appearances from Batman and Batwoman. So it's definitely at least somewhat related to what's happening over there. But yes, this Wildstorm thing, I am so excited about. I love the artwork that we've seen from it so far, too. The new design on Grifter is pretty slick, pretty badass. but there's some other things coming that, or some things that have been teased all along for DC this year. Like Dan Abnett has mentioned that he and Geoff Johns are going to be working on that long-awaited follow-up to Throne of Atlantis, The Rise of the Seven Seas. We're still waiting.
Yeah.
But, you know, honestly, as anticipating, or as much as I'm anticipating that story finally happening, because, Kelly, you know how high I was on Throne of Atlantis.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
When that story was coming out, guys, I was in... Kelly, I was in your shop like every day, like every week. Like, I need more. Like that whole Geoff Johns Aquaman and Justice League run was just, yeah, that's legendary stuff for me. That was,
yeah.
It took everything that we loved about his JSA and Hawkman and just like amplified it. But anyway, I'm hoping that that follow up does start to happen this year, because I feel like we've waited long enough. And they need to just do it. But at the same time, if Geoff, you know, doesn't have time to do it, because he is, frankly, a very busy man, I'd rather them wait. You know, wait till you have the time to commit. But speaking of like big commitments, there's another guy at DC besides Geoff Johns that we should talk about, and that is Scott Snyder. Because Greg Capullo, his Batman cohort, has signed a new DC deal, a new, we presume, DC exclusive deal for 2017. And he's coming back to team up with Scott for a Batman event. Presumably, this probably late summer or early fall. We don't know what all it entails, but they have described it as like a wild and crazy, like rock opera. I don't know what that means, but I'm going to sit back and enjoy that ride. Now, Kelly, if somebody said to you, "Hey, Snyder and Capullo are getting back together for a Batman event," is that one you're going to buy?
Probably, yeah, yeah. I definitely will check it out.
Yep, that'll get people to crack those wallets open. Say, hey,
it's a good team. It's a good pair up, you know.
They really do. They just make good comics. I mean, you put these guys together, even when they're not at the top of their game, they're still good. It's still must read stuff. So that one's going to be high up on my list. Like I said, I have no idea exactly what part of this year that's coming, but we know that it is, because Greg is still wrapping up Reborn with Mark Miller over at Image, but probably not too much left to do on that book before it's completely finished. And speaking of other things coming out of DC this coming up year, one of their fastest rising stars is Tom King. He's been having a pretty good run on Batman lately, and I know, Kelly, you were a big fan of his Vision series.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, there's a lot that's been teased about what may be coming from him. He and his Sheriff of Babylon artist, Mitch Gerards, I guess is how we pronounce his name. They were originally going to do a new volume of Sheriff of Babylon for this year, but they got offered a new DC book that hasn't been announced yet. So they pushed Sheriff of Babylon back to next year. Now, we don't know what that's going to be, but we've been seeing a lot of Legion of Superheroes teasing lately.
Yeah.
I saw an appearance of Saturn Girl in a recent issue of Batman. And Saturn Girl is mentioned by name in Justice League versus Suicide Squad number 4.
And there's also the Emerald Empress,
yes,
who's in the Suicide Squad, and she doesn't belong to this timeline. This era in time. I mean, she's part of the Fatal Five. She's one of the premier group of bad guys that fought the Legion all the time, so.
And she's going to be showing up in Supergirl coming up pretty soon, like as the follow-up to Justice League versus Suicide Squad, or at least the follow-up to that story is going to happen in the Supergirl title. And apparently Saturn Girl is also going to be appearing there, so that's how that is all going to tie in. But there has been some speculation that maybe Tom King is going to be launching a new Legion of Superheroes book with Mitch Gerards. I think that's one possibility. But there's something else that King said that I think people should keep in mind. Because he said that his new DC title is going to be a spiritual successor to his Vision book.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea exactly. I don't know exactly what that might mean. Because I haven't read Vision, but whenever he says spiritual successor, I'm thinking, could it be like he wants to write a book that takes a character that people think they know everything about, but he shows them that there's a completely other side to that character, or like advances them in a way that people just didn't think about, kind of like what he did for Vision?
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if it might actually be a Catwoman series. A new Catwoman ongoing or Catwoman mini. Mostly based off of the most recent issue of Batman, which was the first part of the Rooftops two-parter story. Because I really think there's something there. I think that he and Mitch are working together on that two-parter, and it is excellent. Just the way he writes Catwoman and the way he writes Batman. It's like, this is absolutely what Batman and Catwoman fans should be reading. So if King and Gerards are going to be doing a Catwoman series, I'm totally in. But let's say, hypothetically speaking, Kelly, they're doing a Legion of Superheroes title.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think needs to happen for the Legion to work in 2017? How could they pull that off and make it a book that will appeal to more people?
Yeah, well, I think for one thing, let's just do one book. Let's not try to do, in the New 52, they did Legion Lost, and it started out kind of as a neat premise, but it slowly became like I really started to dislike it. I think if you're going to do a Legion of Superhero series, sometimes it doesn't hurt at all to follow that formula of let's establish these characters and let's tell their backstory and let's let the old readers and new readers enjoy this retelling. I don't know how you could go about doing that to make it fresh and new for the old readers, because the new readers are going to come into it, and if they're going to be if they're interested at all, they're going to be caught up in what's going on and the origin story of the Legion. Even your old fans, I don't mind seeing a retelling. It's been done. I mean, the Legion has been relaunched a lot. And yeah. So I don't think, you know, I don't think a lot of Legion fans would be bothered by a, you know, kind of let's do an origin, let's do a few issues of kind of setting the backstory about the Legion. And you don't really have to go super in detail. I mean, you know, so it's I think that would be the best bet, because the way they did it in the New 52, it almost just, there wasn't a whole lot of, how are you going to bring new readers in? And that was, I think, the they just started you off and like you just had to kind of ride along and hope that you could kind of, you know, pick up what was going on and understand the history of the Legion, because it's a very deep and complex and long history. And it's kind of daunting. I mean, I think, though, and just like I said, I think you'd really just kind of need to do some sort of setup, you know, a few issues of kind of setup backstory because that's what they didn't do in the previous series. And like I said, Legion Lost was just a mess, you know.
I agree with that. I can see where you come from. And I think that maybe what really needs to happen for the Legion is they need to feel like they matter in the modern context. And by matter, I mean it needs to feel like what's happening with them is consequential to the larger DC Rebirth picture. Because that's what's drawing a lot of people in. I mean, that's why a lot of people are reading certain books, like why they gravitated over to Suicide Squad, why they're still reading Justice League, even though those books are fairly mediocre or straight up bad in some cases. Why a lot of people are still reading Flash, and a lot of people are like reading Batman because, well, Batman's going to sell anyway, but you get the point that larger Rebirth picture is what has drawn a lot of people in. They're very curious about that and what that means going forward. And I feel like the Legion, at least as far as the New 52 was concerned, it kind of felt like they were just pushed off into their own little corner and said, okay, you exist over there, do your thing, and nobody gave a shit. And it was because it was inconsequential. It didn't mean anything to the larger picture of this, you know, big narrative that DC was telling. So if they want Legion to work, I feel like those characters first do need to appear in other books prominently. Mm-hmm. And it needs to, their story needs to feel like it's the one that matters. And
yeah,
I really hope, I don't know if they're going to do this, but this is just me speculating, but it would be the biggest mind fuck of the year if this whole thing, Rebirth, all of it, was actually Geoff Johns' magnum opus on Legion of Superheroes. That, like what Jonathan Hickman did with his Avengers run and into Secret Wars, mm-hmm. he only made you think you were reading an Avengers story and flipped it at the end to reveal that you had actually been reading a Fantastic Four story all along.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm like, how awesome would it be if Geoff Johns pulled a very similar bait and switch and all of a sudden everybody's like, oh my God, this has been a Legion story since the start. Of course, pure baseless speculation on my part. Nick's favorite. Moving on. That's what I think is a possibility out of DC Comics, and what I'm, you know, kind of excited for, just to think about that as a possibility, and it kind of makes people, or at least it makes me, look around and look a little bit harder at some of the stuff that's happening within these books and say, huh, maybe I should be following this book or that book. But, you know, I'm still desperately trying to cut down my list because, good God, it's getting more expensive out there. And there's a possibility that, you know, some DC titles may be going up in price pretty soon.
Well, yeah.
I hope not, but it does look that way for a couple of the monthly titles. Anyway, anything else catching your eye out of DC? Anything else you think might be happening?
No, I think pretty much what I've stated, you know, as far as the books that I'm looking forward to, and I know that DC, you know, they've got, they're going to have their events for this year, and you know, I'll just wait and see how it turns out, because you know, events are events that come and go, and I'm not always a fan of events, whether they're from DC or Marvel, you know, unless it's just you've got good people involved in it and it's a good story that makes sense and not just, you know, let's just throw this out here to make some quick bucks and you know, get some people's attention, and really at the end there's no substance to it.
And that is a distinct possibility. Fortunately, though, I do have a lot of good things to say about Justice League versus Suicide Squad. I've enjoyed that. I think that it's been a really strong event, stronger than it probably had any right to be, considering how weak both Suicide Squad and Justice League have been since Rebirth began. But this event from Joshua Williamson has worked very well for me. I like the idea of events now being weekly, though. Like, you get a team of artists together, you get one writer, one solid vision, let him go forward, or let him or her go forward, and then, you know, get a series of artists who all have similar styles, and you crank that sucker out. You just go ahead and get it done.
Yeah.
You know, don't do the Secret Wars thing and drag it out for years. I'm kidding, it's not years. It did span a long time, though. But speaking of things that take too long, moving on to Marvel. I'm kidding, Ben Morris. We love Marvel here, and I'm going to talk about some things that I'm looking forward to coming out of Marvel in 2017. Mainly, all of this X-Men stuff. Resurrection, as they're calling it. And it's mainly for the Weapon X and Cable titles, but I think Blue and Gold have some potential as well. Kelly, what are your thoughts on this new X-Men initiative as it appears so far?
I'm looking forward to. I think Generation X is the book that I want to pick up, because it's, you know, the characters from that book seem to be pretty interesting, and I remember reading the original Generation X back in the day, and that was one of my favorite books. But as far as the two, you know, the Blue and Gold books, I think I'm going to probably lean towards reading the Blue X-Men, I guess Code Blue or whatever it's supposed to be, the one that's got the younger incarnations of the X-Men. And, you know, because of what you've been talking about as far as Weapon X, I think I'll probably take a peek at that, but you know, the rest of it, I don't know. I'll just have to, I may pick it off the shelf, you know, to see.
Well, it is a wait and see, because let's just go ahead and say it. Marvel hasn't really been all that good to their X-Men line the last few years.
We've had to suffer through Inhumans.
Oh, and we're going to get more of it, though, because, you know, the Royals are getting their own title. Yay. But you know, I'm more apt to accept a Royal Family Inhumans title than I am a book about a bunch of like new Inhumans that I don't give one single solitary fuck about.
Even at this point, they can, you know, they can roll out the Royals, and I don't give a shit anymore. I am burnt the fuck out on the Inhumans, and they just need to go back to the moon, get back on their little whatever, and just stop it. I'm so done.
Well, and the ongoing complaint is that X-Men and humans have become too similar to one another. And we're hoping that they're going to get some separation in there. Like, in humans, you go over and you do your thing over here. X-Men get to go and, like, all mutants get to go and do their thing over here. I feel like we don't need to keep pushing Inhumans as like an X-Men stand-in, as they have been really trying to do these past, especially this past year. It got really bad there for a while, and it's still pretty bad. They need to just knock it off, but this new TV series that's coming up is probably not going to help.
No, it's not.
We'll talk about that more in the second half when we get to things we want to complain about in other media. As far as this whole resurrection event is concerned, though, I am very much looking forward to Weapon X and Cable, and I'm going to give Blue and Gold a chance, even though I'm not overly excited about either creative team on those books. And I mean, I like Mark Guggenheim. I think he's done some good work, although most of it on Arrow. And Adrian Saif coming on to do art for X-Men Gold, like that. And it features a kind of a classic lineup. You know, you've got Colossus, Nightcrawler, Old Man Logan, Kitty Pryde, Storm. I forget who else is going to be in that book. And then, of course, Blue is the young, time-displaced X-Men under the tutelage of Magneto, but written by Cullen Bunn with art by Jorge Molina. And I got to say, like, of these two creative teams, I like Bunn and Molina more than I like Guggenheim and Saif, but I like the team of characters that Guggenheim is using more. But I do have to say, I like this idea of Magneto being the teacher of these this younger generation of X-Men, or these time-displaced X-Men.
Yeah.
I think there's some real potential in that. So I'm for sure going to at least give it a look when it hits Marvel Unlimited, because Marvel has taken away the digital codes that were going to make it easier for me to keep up with these books. Thanks a bunch. And so now it's all unlimited for me. But, I mean, what can you do? Which of those teams between Blue and Gold are you most looking forward to?
Pretty much the Blue. I mean, I like, you know, the younger displaced X-Men and seeing what they're going to do with them. Excuse me. And them being, you know, taught basically by Magneto. See how that kind of... See how it turns out, basically.
I'm curious about that. Also curious how some of the other current X books... Like, I'm anticipating this means that, like, the current X-Men books are going to be canceled, and that this will be a big relaunch. I just hope that it doesn't mean that Old Man Logan is going to be canceled. I really want that book to stay around.
Yeah. Does Old Man... I mean, I haven't read yet. I'm going to. I just haven't read it yet. But does Old Man Logan know what happened to Wolverine as far as his younger version that got...
Yes,
he does. By, okay.
It was a lot for him to take in. But he adjusted to it very well. I think that was one of those crux moments where it started to hit him that this really isn't the same timeline, that all those things that he was afraid of happening all over again might not actually come to pass, because there he
is. He's not.
It's like he's not even there. He's encased in adamantium. And
do you ever think that they're going to bring him back? Because I keep thinking at some point they will.
Yeah, I really do, because, I mean, encased in adamantium is not completely obliterated and incinerated to the point of, like, going down to ash. I mean, hell, even that's not going to keep a good character down. Ben Reilly's back. We watched him disintegrate.
Yeah, well, it's like if, you know, somebody gets just a sample of Wolverine, they could bring him back. I mean, it's...
Or they just find a way to crack that adamantium shell open, and it's like, oh, look, he's not dead.
Yeah, he's been preserved, basically, to some degree. It's probably been a real... I can't imagine. That's got to suck.
Well, it's like his healing factor kicks in, and he's back. I mean, seriously, folks, Death in Comics remains a revolving door.
Yeah.
And no better evidence of that than the current Amazing Spider-Man arc, The Clone Conspiracy, that has brought Ben Reilly back from the dead. And not just another, like, clone version of Ben Reilly. No. The version that turned to dust is back as an antagonist. But you know what? If you want to hear that rant, And in a more eloquent and even more entertaining way, go listen to last week's edition of the Hard Traveling Fanboys. You will not be disappointed in that. I certainly wasn't. I enjoyed every minute of it. But Ben is getting his own title. You know, a new Scarlet Spider title is going to be coming up in 2017 from Peter David and Mark Bagley. And, I mean, that is a hell of a creative team. Two, you know, longtime pros, two, like, legends in the business taking on Ben Reilly, the Scarlet Spider. I got to tell you, my interest is peaked. I'm going to have to at least give that book a shot because... Well, that creative team is strong, and it's Ben Reilly Spider-Man, so of course I want to read it. Any chance you're going to give that one a shot, Kelly, or is that one that you'll probably just be like, eh, moving on?
I'll probably give it a shot.
But that's not to say, I mean, those are the kind of the smaller things that are coming up in Marvel, but they do have a big event coming up called Secret Empire that we don't really know a ton about, but apparently it's a Captain America event.
I don't care.
I'm kind of right there with you. I'm like, you know, I've lost the ability to care about this this Captain America run, mostly because at first it was really doing something different, but now it feels like it's controversy for its own sake. And
yeah, that's exactly what I think. I think they're just doing it to shake people up and come up with this weird backstory that, you know, the Red Skull tampered with him, and just I don't care.
I mean, doing that, for one thing, I was on board with that idea, but they have just drug it out, and it's like, you need to finish it. You need to just wrap this up. It has gone on for entirely too long, and I don't know. I mean, I guess they're trying to make a larger point about our society, but I feel like the point's getting lost. I feel like they've gotten too bogged down in their own messaging that they've lost their message.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time to rein it in. And I've said this before on social media that what I'm mainly hoping for out of Marvel Comics this year is for them to look at what DC did, and if they're not going to do a full reboot, fine. But at least get more focused. At least tighten up and center their continuity. Work more on story and worry less about grabbing headlines. I mean, DC has done the opposite of what Marvel's doing. They have worked hard to stay away. They've worked hard to stay away from bigger headlines, and they just put out good content. And what do you know? It's actually worked across the board for them in terms of both the quality of their books and the diversity issues that we all know that comics as an industry does have. But you look at what DC is doing, and they're not, you know, throwing it out there to say, hey, look at all of our initiatives. They're just doing it. You know, you don't see them, you know, paying for time on The View to announce a new book. They're just not doing it. They let the work speak for itself, and they're doing a pretty good job of it. I mean, there's always room for improvement. There's always, you know, more that you could be doing for diversity initiatives. But their approach is working. People are gravitating to these characters. People want to see more of them. More creators, like creators who might not have gotten a chance to do certain things in the past, are now getting those opportunities. It's a step in the right direction, and it's not waving a big flag that says, hey, look at us, give us all the attention.
Yeah.
And to me, I feel like it's allowing the creators, you know, to step away from so much spotlight and from so much scrutiny and just tell their stories the way they want to do it. And it's making the books better. So, Marvel needs to take that same approach. You know, stop worrying so much about, are you making all these other groups happy? Are you getting the right headlines and the right blogs? Or, you know, are the right websites talking about you? and just make good comics again.
I agree.
But it would be nice. It would really be nice. And I see some of that as a possibility in the stuff that they've announced. I mean, Resurrection seems like something that, you know, that could be. That could be. And we see other books like the current Nova series. You've been a big fan of Champions.
And that's Champions and the new Nova series has been really good. But, I mean, Champions has, I think, been the best thing that they've done, you know, in a while.
And that's what you like to hear. You like to hear that, you know, those books are just working.
Yeah.
And it's working because, well, Champions has a big-name creator in Mark Waid on it. But Nova's not a big-name creator, I don't think.
Mm-mm. But it's, I mean, he's still, I mean, it's getting there. I mean, I'm enjoying it. It's good to see, you know, Richard Rider back, you know.
And that's what we want. Like, we want the classic feel, but I like that they teamed up Richard and Sam together.
Yeah, I do too.
I think that they're a fantastic team, and that this book is going to work all the better for it. And that, to me, that's kind of in the spirit of what DC's been doing over with Rebirth. You know, they're talking up, you know, the originals. They get the spotlight, but they team up with the new heroes, you know, the new kids that are coming up, and you get a chance to actually grow with these characters, because that's one thing that Legacy at DC really meant to me, was that you get to grow up with these characters. You know, you start with characters that you identify with, and as you grow. They change, you know, over the course of time. I mean, it happened with Wally West. It happened with Dick Grayson. They became the heroes for a new generation. And that is precisely why people gravitate to them, and that could absolutely work with Marvel and several of their characters if they just position them in the right way. I think it's worked actually pretty well for, let's say, the new Wolverine, X-23, Laura. I think that she's quickly become one of Marvel's top characters because she was popular in another medium, on television first, and then she's been written well in the comics and allowed to grow with the audience. And as that has happened, she's become more accepted by not just, you know, the general audience that already knew about her, but the older audience who maybe weren't so keen on her to begin with. But it took time. It wasn't something that just happened overnight. But now I look at her and I look at her place in Marvel Comics, and it's hard for me to think of, you know, what would Marvel be without her now. I think she's kind of ingrained. I feel like you have to have her, at least as far as that legacy of Wolverine is concerned.
Yeah.
So hope to see, and that's another character I hope to see more of in 2017. I think that she's gotten out front. I think she's going to get a big push because of a certain movie coming out in March. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. That's really all I could think of for 2017 out of Marvel so far, and stuff that I would like to see out of them. Is there anything that anything else that jumped out at you? Anything that you remember?
The only other book that I want to look at when it comes out is America Chavez.
Oh yes, that book.
Mainly because it's one of those off. I mean, I know that she's been in different books. She's kind of floated around. She's getting her own series now, and I wanted to know more about the character. So that's, you know, she's just interesting. So that's why, you know, I'm looking forward to that.
And there's talk. I mean, it's a lot of buzz, and it's hard to say who's going to be like the next big character or anything. But
yeah,
I have heard some rumblings that people are saying that if this book is as good as some people are claiming, she could be the next Miss Marvel.
Yeah.
Which would be really cool. Hey, let's do that. Let's have, you know, another character like that, because, you know, as much as we rip on Inhumans, I don't think either one of us want the current Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan, to go anywhere.
We
want her around and as out front as they can make her. Because I absolutely love what they've done with that character from the first G. Willow Wilson series all the way to what they're doing with her in Champions. I think that she's a fantastic character. But that's, yeah, good pick there. Less, I think that's about it as far as I know for for Marvel Comics. And, you know, 2017 is going to be a big year for Image, too, because this is their 25th anniversary.
Yeah.
I mean, 25 years of Image. That's kind of crazy to think about. And, you know, talk about a company that has undergone quite a dramatic amount of change over the course of 25 years.
Yeah. That's very true.
Starting out basically as the extreme superhero line, I mean, you had stuff like, I guess Wildcats did start on Image, if I remember right. Spawn, of course.
Young Blood Brigade, Blood Bull. Freak Force. I actually liked Freak Force. That was
it's the
same guy who does Savage Dragon.
Eric Larson.
Eric Larson.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. There was a lot. There's a lot of junk, a lot of trash, a lot of just garbage that came out, but there was some good stuff too. Not a lot, but there was some good stuff. But
they endured though. They managed to stick around.
I mean, Savage Dragon and Spawn and Witchblade, I know ran for a long time.
Spawn is still going.
Yeah, Spawn is still going.
So is Savage Dragon.
Yeah, and so is Savage Dragon. So I mean it that era also. I mean, I was there. I picked up my first copy of Youngblood when it came out and was super hyped about it. Same thing with Wildcats and eventually when Wetworks came out 4 years later. You know, I mean, but that was also right there towards the comic explosion and then the comic implosion through the 90s. So, I mean, it was... like I said, good and bad.
And you take them both, and there you have Image 25 years later.
pretty much.
2017. But Image has, you know, they have evolved quite a bit over the years to become first the extreme superhero line to now they're like the denizens of independent creator-owned comics.
Yep.
I mean, if you want to publish a creator-owned series and you want it to, you know, get pushed out there into the larger media, Image seems to be the place to go.
Yeah.
And they do have several new, well, they have a couple of new things coming up in this year. One in particular that I know I'm looking forward to is a new Greg Rucka book called The Old Guard.
Mm-hmm.
That one looks pretty typical Rucka, honestly. That's one that I think we got a short look at in last week's Image Books. They gave us a quickie two-page look at it. I'm not even sure how to describe it, honestly. But they're calling it, I mean, it's about a group of immortal warriors making a living as modern-day mercenaries. And, I mean, it's... for God's sake, it's written by Greg Rucka. You know you want to read this. If you've been reading Lazarus or if you've been reading his Wonder Woman run right now with Liam Sharp, you know this is probably going to be good. As far as, like, other big books, that's probably the only one that's, like, really, like, pinging my radar. But I am excited to see a certain other book coming back. A book that... Hard Traveling Fanboy, Jingle co-writer David Sunday is also a big fan of, and that is Copperhead. It's a nice sci-fi western book that suddenly disappeared at some point last year. It was going along fine. Thought we were going to head into a new story arc. It would have been its third story arc, and then all of a sudden the book is just gone. No word of cancellation. No nothing.
Yeah.
But we just got word in new solicits that Copperhead is back. Same creative team, everything. It's all, they're going to come back. They're going to do a new story arc. And I know I got really excited. I know David's excited to see that one back. So, yes, Copperhead is back. I encourage people to go check out the first couple of trades of that one. It's a really fun read. Definitely has that old Western style, that old Western feel to it, but it is very much, a sci-fi story on a desert planet in a small town with a human sheriff trying to police aliens. And, well, aliens to her. She's the alien on this planet. And it's a really, like, just fun book. I mean, that's the best way I can describe it, is that I just have a lot of fun reading it. Tonally speaking, it reminds me a lot of Firefly. Though it's not so much of a spacefaring adventure. You know, they don't really leave the planet all that much. Still, fun book. Absolutely one that I'll be looking forward to. And, of course, continuing on with my other favorites in 2017, like Kill or Be Killed, Southern Bastards. There is one big ending that's coming up this year for Image, though. Invincible is going to end.
Yeah.
I mean, it's time. I think it's time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a fan of that book. I haven't kept up with it, but I know the trades are readily available. But I read up through volume 7, I think, and just, you know, and I'm sure the rest of them are going to be just as good too. But it does feel like it's about time, and it's been a good run. I mean, like I said before, we're not going to see runs like this anymore. We're just not. I mean, you know, Walking Dead's a good example of something that's going to, you know, go on for a while, but, you know, we just don't see those numbers anymore. And so it's kind of a sad thing, but at the same time, it, you know, Kirkman's obviously ready.
Yeah. And he's been turning this book out for a long time now. I forget what issue they're even on right now. It's going to end at 144. I mean, that's a 13-year run.
Yeah, like I said, I mean,
13 years of Invincible.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, yeah, it is time. Like, there is such a thing as certain comics and certain stories overstaying their welcome. And while I don't feel like Invincible necessarily got to that point, I don't feel like it's necessary to just keep it going anymore. And if Kirkman's got an ending in mind, which I'm sure he's got that all figured out, at least you get to end the book on your own terms.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's something that a lot of creators just don't get to say. So that'll be one. And I encourage people to go out and check out the trades. You know, at least pick up the first volume of it, or if you find an omnibus or something, pick up that collection. There's a reason that series lasted as long as it did. And as someone who has read quite a bit of it, yeah, I can tell you that it's 90s kid nostalgia overload. It starts you kind of in that early 90s phase, at least as far as the book's mentality. And as it goes, it gets more and more extreme, and it starts to almost become like a riff on Image Comics' journey itself. So I encourage people to go and check that out. I don't think you'll be disappointed, especially if you're a fan of superhero comics and you're just looking for something a little different, something out of the DC and Marvel norm that, you know, isn't too bogged down in continuity. Speaking of other superheroes, like moving out of all of the mainstream stuff, Valiant's going to be relaunching Exo Man of War again. but with Matt Kent as the writer, and he's going to have a rotating team of artists. And we've seen some preview pages so far. Number One's interior art from Thomas Giorello. I got to tell you, the artwork looks fantastic. Better than even the last time they relaunched this book back in 2011. I thought that book looked good. I think this one looks better. But I don't know. Whenever I talk to my local comic shop, all I hear is that he'll order Valiant books when they're first starting up, and pretty much nobody buys them. So, I mean, I guess they're selling somewhere if they can afford, you know, big name creators and to go through these relaunches. But man, it kind of makes you wonder, how long does Valiant really have left, and will 2017 be the year that makes them or the year that breaks them?
Yeah, I know when Valiant was doing some of the books back when I had my shop there, they were semi-popular. I mean, I had a few people that had it on their pull list, and I tried to throw a few on the shelf, but, you know, after a while, after that initial, you know, first four or five issues came out of each of the titles, they just kind of died out. I mean, I didn't see a lot of people, you know, asking or looking for them. So eventually, I mean, they just became pull list only titles, you know.
And that's what I think is that's what's happened at my LCS too. Like, people who are on the Valiant titles, they're getting them for their pull list, but I don't see a ton of Valiant on the shelf. And my LCS is pretty big. Like, he actually orders quite a bit of stuff, and that's at Capital City Comics here in Montgomery. But yeah, Valiant is just not all that popular, and it kind of sucks though, because I've read quite a bit of Valiant stuff, and yeah, it's quality. It is for sure quality. I'm especially a fan of the Harbinger line, and I've heard nothing but good things about Jeff Lemire's Bloodshot. All of that sounds like it's you know, stuff that I will enjoy reading, and I even took advantage of some Christmas sales to get me some of that Jeff Lemire Bloodshot so I could try it out. And maybe this Matt Kent Exo Man of War could very well be awesome, but it's one of those things that I feel like people have a lot of trepidation about trying out a book that to them is going to feel like an unknown quantity, because Valiant is not exactly, you know, the household name that Marvel and DC are, so people are naturally skeptical about whether or not this is going to be for them. For my part, I've tried to get people into it by, like, if I've bought a book or something, held onto it for a while, I'll find someone that I think might enjoy it, and I'll pass it along to them and say, okay, take this, read it, and if you enjoy it, go, you know, pick you up some Valiant comics at your local comic shop. I mean, that's the hope, but it doesn't always work out that way. And I would say most of the time it doesn't work out that way.
Yeah.
But we try. but, I mean, for me, that's really what I'm looking forward to out of 2017. Is there any other events or any other books that come to mind for you?
No, I'm usually, when it comes to like Image and stuff like that, I normally I'll find stuff in the previews. You know, I'll look through the previews and read. Like, I just picked up issue one of God's Country.
How was that this past week?
It was very weird, but but at the same time, it was very entertaining. So I'll probably pick up the next issue and follow it.
Well, that's what we look for. We hope for the weird, the strange, and just the, you know, something that keeps our attention.
Magic swords and an old man with Alzheimer's that, you know, like I said, you really need to just pick it up and read it to get everything and to enjoy it. But that's that's how I find Image books, either like hearing something from you or from my friend Joe, or just reading about it in the preview. Sometimes you can, you know.
That's the best way to find out about books.
That's the best way. I mean, yeah, you can look on stuff online, and you know, that's all well and good. I do that too if I see something, but grabbing that preview every month and flipping through it and kind of perusing it, that's a good way to go. Oh wow, this is coming back out, or that's coming out, you know. So,
well, that's it. I can say that Big Swords and Alzheimer's is how I'd like to think of my own future. So, maybe, you know, if luck will have it, if luck holds, that's exactly what we'll be doing. Hopefully with a good rocking chair too, because I can just, you know, see myself not wanting to walk anymore because, you know, lazy. But if you give me a giant magic sword, then all bets are off. But that's about it for what we're looking forward to in 2017 for comics for now. I'm sure there's plenty more to be announced later that we don't know about yet, but we'll get there. And speaking of getting there, whenever we come back from the break, we're going to talk about what we're looking forward to in 2017 as far as film, like movies, television, all of that great stuff. And we hope that you'll come back and join us for that, because there's a lot more to talk about. So stay right there. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I just want to make sure you're all subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Now, it's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search for and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, Place to Be Nation Pop feed, Pro Wrestling Only feed, and, of course, the Kevin Kelly Show feed, which includes the full archives of my podcast. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And of course, as always, enjoy all the great action of Ring of Honor Wrestling and everything presented to you on PlaceToBeNation.com.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com, and we offer them to you across two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast with our famous vintage vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with the smash hit Clotheslines and Headlines, our steady veteran main event, and the beloved monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on all pro wrestling super shows. Relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the always contentious Dangerous Alliance podcast, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. On our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, NBA Team, Lucha Undead, Geek and Sassy, and a veritable podcast heaven for comic fans with hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both of those feeds on iTunes and rate and leave feedback for us as well. All of these shows plus others available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on the right-hand side of our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
The PWO PTBN feed has changed its name, now known simply as Pro Wrestling Only, so it should be easier to find and indeed to say. All of your favorite shows are still here, including Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, This Week in Wrestling, and many, many more, including our full archives of tremendous content. So make sure you subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only feed today.
trying to do that impression again, especially with a throat that has not fully recovered from an upper respiratory infection. Ugh, that was a bad idea. Kelly, I'm full of those today. That's... Yeah, we're not doing that anymore. But you know what we are going to do? We're glad that you guys stuck around to listen to this second half of what we're most looking forward to in 2017. Because now we're getting to some even more fun. The TV shows and movies based on comic book properties coming up this year. And, man, 2016 was pretty stacked as far as content. And it looks like 2017 is... gonna give it a run for its money. So with that in mind, I mean, we already have our favorites as far as like TV goes, and we know that they're all going to be coming back here pretty soon in January, like probably within a week, I believe. All the CW shows like Arrow, Supergirl, Flash, Legends, all that's coming back. But there's some new shows that are going to be starting up in 2017. And I know I've got a couple that I'm definitely very much looking forward to. So I guess I'll start off this one with saying which one I'm most looking forward to. And that's going to be Iron Fist on Netflix. Mm-hmm. I have been hoping for a show similar to this for a while. And we kind of got it with AMC's Into the Badlands, which is a fantastic dystopian martial arts epic. It has a little bit of a kung fu thing going on, but you know, in that post-apocalyptic kind of feel. But Iron Fist seems to be steering straight into like straight up kung fu territory, so I am very much looking forward to that. And of course, if the fight scenes are what I think they're going to be, oh, this could be my new favorite show. And it is also the lead-in to Defenders, which is filming now. The big crossover between Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and, of course, Iron Fist. So that's my number one show that I'm very much looking forward to. So, Kelly, any show that's coming to mind for you? Like, what are you excited to see? Like, a new show you're excited to see in 2017?
I think I'm in the same place you are. I'm looking forward to seeing Iron Fist. I think that, yes, you know, looks like a really good show, and I hope that it has that mystical side to it too. That, because that's kind of the whole thing with Danny Rand, is, you know, he's got these mystic abilities. Mystic martial abilities, martial arts abilities that I hope will be explored in, you know, in the 8 or 10 episodes, however long it runs. I hope they're able to kind of give us that side to it, since magic's already kind of been, you know, established with Doctor Strange. I hope that that we get to see that with Iron Fist. And I mean, I too am I'm not a huge fan of Iron Fist, but I did read his books back in the day. John Byrne did a few of his first, I think, ongoing series at Marvel back in the late 70s. In fact, I think, if I'm right, I think Iron Fist issue 15 was like the first appearance of Sabretooth. So they introduced Sabretooth way back then as well. He's a cool character, and I think for a television show, I think it'll fit just like the rest of the Netflix Marvel shows have done.
I got a lot of faith in them to pull off a good show and to make this maybe the new favorite. At least I hope so. I know that Luke Cage, for me, started off so strong. Like, I loved it all the way up until they switched the focus from being about Cottonmouth to then being about Diamondback. And that was right about where the show started to slip for me, and was not a huge fan of the ending, but I have loved both seasons of Daredevil. I thought both of those were really great, and absolutely adore Jessica Jones.
And I've no doubt that Iron Fist is going to be a lot of fun to watch. And I'm, like I said, very much anticipating Defenders. and the we didn't mention it in the last half, but there is a new Brian Michael Bendis Defenders series coming that uses the Netflix characters lineup. It's going to be Daredevil, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, and Jessica Jones. So that's another Marvel comic to be looking forward to, mostly because when Brian Bendis is writing Jessica Jones, more people need to pay attention to it, because that is next to Ultimate Spider-Man and Miles Morales. Anyway, I feel like Jessica Jones is the character that he does the best. I feel like that is just Brian Bendis at top of his game, and the current Jessica Jones book is fan freaking tastic. So if this TV series and that comic are going to like play off each other like that, I think we're in for some real treats. I think this is going to be a fantastic new series. All signs point to Iron Fist being like the show to check out coming up later this year. Now, that being said, we all know that not every show on TV, every comic book based TV show, is a winner.
Yeah.
Oh, we all know that. So, Kelly, if you could, we know that 2017, as seasons end, we all know that certain shows are likely to get the axe, you know, for whatever reason or another. We know that none of the CW shows are getting axed. They all got renewed.
That's because they're good.
Exactly. That was announced last week, that all the CWDC shows coming back. So, yay. But if you had a chance right now, Kelly, to cancel any one comic book TV show, which one would you axe? And tell the people why.
Probably if those that have been listening to the podcast know, I think probably they know exactly what I'm about to say, and that would be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mainly I would cancel it just to put me out of my misery, because I'm a glutton for punishment, and I have continued to hang on to this dying this dying show for the last couple of seasons. I guess it's four seasons now.
It's been a long death rattle, and we're all tired of you being a bad person watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I'm definitely a bad person. I help keep it on the air by watching it.
Stop that.
And I need to stop. They're starting up their LMD story arc after their Ghost Rider arc for the first part of the fourth season. And I can't say, well, I'm not going to watch it. I will. I'll watch it sometime. I mean,
damn it, Kelly.
It is a horrible addiction. I don't, it's like meth. Just don't do it, folks. Just don't do drugs. You know, I mean, this show is so, some of the characters in it are the only reason that I watch it. And they're not even done as good as they used to be. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I really enjoyed Coulson. Really liked him until he got the directorship, and then, you know, but now that he's back and he's working with Mac, I kind of like Coulson again, but the show's going to get canceled. This may be the last season for it. I don't know if they pull out a fifth, I'll be surprised, because I just don't see fans, I just don't think the fans are with the show anymore, you know, other than the few, counting myself, that is just watching it, maybe just, you know.
I think that's accurate. Like, it's really hard to keep fans wanting to watch this show. And you can kind of tell that it's circling the drain, because they even said recently that one of the showrunners said that there's a problem with keeping Ghost Rider on the show because of financial concerns.
Yeah, it's special effects. They can't, you know, the special effects for Ghost Rider of all things. I'm like, really? That's how much does that cost? You know, I mean,
but if they're at that point, it kind of seems like you're circling the drain. Like you're.
Well, it seems like somebody's like really tight on the budget. It's like, hey, we can't do this. The show's losing money. We can't do Ghost Rider. You're gonna have to cut that out and do something else. You know.
Well, there goes your entire angle. And I'm not saying that Ghost Rider should never appear again. I mean, he should.
No.
I think that he'd be better served as a Netflix character. You know, like put Ghost Rider and another character like Blade and put them on Netflix. And you could totally build that up and make it work as the more supernatural side of these characters. But as far as ABC is concerned, I don't feel like they're doing superhero TV very well and that it's time. It's just time to axe that show.
Yeah, that's the one for me. That's the one for me.
I'm in full agreement with you. I think that this needs to be it for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But if it were me, I would be canceling a different show.
Close your ears, Miranda.
Oh, you better stick them fingers deep because I'm going to say it again. Hashtag Gotham sucks. And that most recent trailer sucks even more. Oh, my God. I can't believe people are still watching this shit. Oh, please make it stop. It's gotten to the point now where it's just headache inducing to even go into any form of depth with Gotham. So let's just not. And say that Ben McKenzie, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt that it's the material he's given that makes his take on Gordon so freaking terrible. But part of me thinks it's also because he's a bad actor. That's right. I said it. Ben McKenzie sucks. He is a bad actor. He was a bad choice for Commissioner Gordon. And I really hope this show goes away very, very soon. But it's probably not going to because it has a sizable fan base who just keep on watching. And that's okay because they can keep watching and we will keep using the hashtag Gotham sucks.
I haven't been watching it. I mean, there are some good episodes that I did enjoy of the series. The only good thing I'm going to say about the show is, and I've said this before, is I love the actor who plays Bruce Wayne and the actor who plays Alfred. Those two are the only things about that show that are consistent and that are good. That show should be really just about them, and the rest of it should be just junked. If they wanted to do a show, let's just not even deal with Commissioner Gordon so much. Let's just deal with Bruce and Alfred. You know, I mean,
give me a show all about Bruce's childhood and just like show me him growing up, and don't even involve Gordon or Bullock And certainly not these ham-fisted versions of Batman's Rogues Gallery. Constant red herring teasing of Jerome being Joker. I'm like, please, please stop. Any Batman fan is going to tell you that guy is not Joker. And if they do something stupid like turning him into Joker, then they have taken away everything about that character that makes him relevant and... I couldn't take it. I'd be like, this right here shows that Gotham is indeed the worst iteration of the Batman mythos that has ever been because they would have taken away the mystique of the Joker. The whole point is that you don't know who he is, that nobody knows who he is. And if all these folks are like, oh, Jerome is totally Joker, it's just so cool. No, it isn't. It's fucking terrible. Stop.
If they were going to do... a Gotham series about, they should have just done Gotham Central.
Yes.
And not really even involved Bruce or Alfred. Okay. You can't, to me, it just seems like you can't do both.
Law and Order GCPD.
It's hard to do both. Either do a young, like I said, back when Smallville was big, they should do this, but do it with a young Bruce Wayne and Alfred and Bruce learning you know, and kind of, and I know they want to do all these things. They want to build, you know, his rogues gallery, and that's fine if they would just do it right and not shit on it.
Yeah,
I mean, and that's like, that's what they've done.
And Riddler shouldn't be like four times Bruce's age, nor should like I. In my mind, Joker is not, like, we have no idea how old Joker is, but at the same time, he's not, you know, 20 or like 15, 20 plus years Bruce's senior. But by the time Bruce becomes Batman, most of these villains that they've introduced are going to be practically fucking geriatric.
Yeah. So, I mean,
they're not going to be threats. They're going to be sipping Metamucil, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's really difficult to set these characters up. And look, I haven't had a problem with the casting so much for the show. I thought the casting wasn't bad, but I just think the execution of bringing, you know, Penguin and Riddler and all of these iconic rogues from Batman's, you know, his rogues gallery is just badly done. And it's like
that take that they've done on Harvey Dent is insulting to Harvey Dent fans.
Well, yeah, I
that's pretty bad.
Yeah,
and Harvey Dent and Bruce are supposed to be the same age. They're mm-hmm. supposed to be friends, and there's no way that's even remotely possible in Gotham continuity. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's either just do a Gotham Century, Gotham, or, you know, do a cop show, or just, you know, do a raising of Bruce, you know, Bruce becoming Batman. Don't try to do both, because it's just, there's too many characters, and they don't know how to handle all of them. And like you said, and even some of them, they don't give a shit about the fact that Harvey and Bruce were the same age or around the same age. It's just stupid.
It is. And speaking of things
I'm sorry, Miranda, but I mean,
no, we're not. We're not sorry. Not even a little. But speaking of things that also look terrible, and not to out myself as an anti-Archite, as the term has been coined here at Place to Be Nation Pop, but that new Archie show looks like shit. I'm sorry. But I'm not. Who asked for Twin Peaks meets Dawson's Creek? Who asked for that?
That's what I mean. It's like, is this Archie TV series? Is it supposed to be kind of supernatural or creepy? Or I mean, I don't.
It's certainly creepy, and it looks dumb as fuck. I have no faith. That one. I mean, it's a good thing it's on the CW, because that's about the only way that show stands a chance of getting a second season. Because we all know CW is not one to cancel a low-rated show after one season. You'll probably get at least two. Now, I look at this show and I'm like, okay, production value is slick. It's got that going for it. Maybe the cast will be good. I don't know. But man, I didn't think that Archie fans really wanted that. Because in my mind, Archie has always been like that, you know, cheesy, all shucks, you know, slight sexual overtones in the storytelling, maybe. But not whatever in the hell this is that they're advertising for the CW. It's like, okay, we get it. American Horror Story was really popular over on FX. That doesn't have to bleed into every single thing CW does now, does it? I hope not. Because there's another show that's vastly overrated. But that's a whole other can of worms that I don't even want to bother cracking up in any further. But you know what? I could be absolutely wrong about that. Maybe a lot of people do want that Archie show because people made Gotham a hit.
Yeah.
So fuck it. Maybe other people will watch that show. I'm not watching it. I've kind of resolved that I have zero interest in seeing that show. But But moving on from that, there are shows out there that I hope go on forever. And my pick for a show that should never end is The Flash. Because, my God, I can't get enough. I love seeing all those characters every week during fall and spring. Can't wait to see what else they come up with. So long as it's not another speedster villain, because I think we've had our fill.
Me too. That would be the show that I'd love to see. Maybe go 10 years like Smallville.
Please go 10 years. Go more.
But
12 Supernatural style.
Let's keep the filler down to a minimum.
That would be nice.
There were some seasons, the latter seasons of Smallville were chock full of filler, and I'm not going to get too much of it, but that's how I felt about it,
And it's true. I agree with that. The filler episodes get to be a little much. It would be nice if we kept it a little more focused, and I would even be in favor of shortening the seasons. Instead of like going these 23 episode seasons like they've been doing, cut it back to 13, but keep the budgets the same so that they can pour some money into the effects. Because let's face it, some of the CG in Flash and Supergirl and Legends of Tomorrow has looked like pure shit. Parasite, for one, that was pretty bad. And Nazi Hulk over on Legends of Tomorrow. Woof. Woof. Bad.
Mm-hmm.
And if Grodd hadn't been bathed in so much darkness in every one of his appearances, he probably would look pretty rough too. So I'm like, let's up the effects budget. Even if that means reducing the number of episodes they film, I would prefer that. I think that would make all these shows better, and they could spend less time, working in, like we were talking about, those filler episodes that feature characters like the Bug-Eyed Bandit that nobody gives a shit about. So, for me, though, if there was one thing that I would love to see out of The Flash going forward, is I would like an entire season dedicated to the Rogues. And with some Grodd thrown in there, too. But mostly Rogues, because when I think of Flash, those are the first villains that come to mind. Those are the villains I want to see more than just about anyone else. And we've covered the speedster villains well. Let's move on. But it kind of sounds like we're on the same page there with a TV show we want to last forever. And, I'm expecting some big things coming out of this the last half of this current CWDC season. We're getting Talia al Ghul over on Arrow pretty soon, and she's going to have a strong tie to Prometheus, which kind of feeds into my fantasy that it would have been Tommy Merlin behind that mask, but I'm pretty sure that's not happening now. I held out hope. But in either case, Prometheus has been a hell of a villain on Arrow. So even though that's my little fan theory is not going to likely turn out to be true, I have still enjoyed the hell out of the development for that character and what they've been doing this entire season. It's been a nice return to form.
Yeah. I agree.
Do you think that Stephen Amell will make good on that promise to show up on day one of filming for season 6 with the traditional Oliver Queen goatee and feather cap?
At this point, I think for season 6, why not? I mean, he's already been, if you look at it, he's been sporting a rough goatee to an extent this last season or so. I mean, it's he's always seen kind of in between shaving a bit, but it's not that really distinguished Oliver Queen goatee that is really just as much him as anything else.
And I hope he does it. Even if it's not something that lasts all season, I think it'd be funny to have him show up. Like, opening episode of season 6 is traditional goatee, you know, that classic Green Arrow look. I think it'd be hilarious. I think it'd be funny. And yeah, I'm curious what the tone of that show is going to be going forward, you know, because they originally only planned 5 seasons, but they got renewed now for 6.
Well, I mean, 6, they can kind of try some, I don't know, I would say try something different, go for a different feel, you know, I mean, not go nuts or anything, but, you know, maybe have a wild dog get killed and or scrappy dog or whatever. And,
oh, that needs to happen by the end of this season. I don't feel like he needs another season. He's had one. That's enough.
What I really want is just to get the original kind of original team back, because, you know, to me, unless they do anything with Mr. Terrific, they've just kind of pooped on his character. That's what the one gripe I have about this past season is they've pooped on it and tried to make him. I mean, everybody, you know, it's okay to have some fighting skill to be in Team Arrow. Yeah, you need to know how to fight. But Mr. Terrific is also brilliant and would come up. You know, he's got tech, and that's what we haven't seen. And it's just ridiculous that we haven't. And, you know, I love Ragman. I think Ragman should stick around. I think he fits in great. Scrappy Dog can get hit by a car. That'd be fine.
A couple of them. Run over by Big Diesel would be fun, too.
We already know that Artemis, who I was really looking forward to seeing, kind of is just, well, you know, she's crap. Get rid of her. I'd love to see Thea come back as, you know, as Speedy. And have her back in the group.
I'd love that. I'd love to have Colton Hayes come back and bring Arsenal back to the show. Or some of these characters maybe even go over to Legends of Tomorrow.
Well, we've obviously seen that they're saying that they can't have a show, a Green Arrow show, without Black Canary. And I totally agree. Laurel Lance could be the Black Siren from...
I think they revealed that she absolutely, she's definitely Black Siren.
Yeah.
And not Black Canary. But if they want to give that character a redemption arc, I mean, I don't know, or somebody else becomes, you know, Black Canary, who knows? But I don't know. I just hope that the actress that plays her, Kate Cassidy, will capitalize on what was done in Arrow's 100th episode, whenever she and Stephen Amell finally appeared to have real chemistry together.
Yeah.
That was something that, you know, that's been a major complaint from a lot of fans, including several people here at Place to Be Nation, that those two just don't have any chemistry together. But they did in episode 100, so if they can build off that and actually make something happen, then, yeah, that could work moving forward. But one, I saw one crazy suggestion out there on a certain website, a certain fan suggesting that maybe Felicity would become the new Black Canary, and I just rolled my eyes.
Oh God, no! She's.
I was like, please stop trying to make Felicity into something she's not. Just allow her to be herself.
Yeah, she's Overwatch. She's the tech. You know,
she is that's just fine in the role she's in.
Yep.
And she is perfect there. Let her be. So no more of that idiocy, because that was just the dumbest idea I think I've heard yet. But in any case, there's still a lot to look forward to out of all of these CW shows. But moving on from TV, it's time to move into most anticipated comic book movie of 2017. I know which one mine is, but Kelly, which one's yours?
Wonder Woman.
And what is it about that one that's got you like hyped? Like, why do you think that one's going to be good?
I don't know. The trailers seem to be really. I mean, the trailers are awesome. I mean, they definitely convey, I think, to me, what the movie is going to be about, and.
Out of the films coming out for this year, I look forward to seeing Wonder Woman. I just think that's the one that I'm ready to see.
That one is actually my number two most anticipated movie of 2017. But I'm totally with you on everything about it, because Gal Gadot stole the show in Batman v Superman. I love how energetic she is and just how much she seems to love playing the character of Diana. Mm-hmm. That Geoff Johns has been very hands-on with the Wonder Woman film, working directly with Patty Jenkins, co-writing the story and the screenplay for the film. This is going to be that moment, I think, for Geoff Johns to show how much influence, like how much positive influence he can have on the DC films. And hopefully it turns out well. Hopefully it turns out to be a good thing and moves these movies into a positive direction, because even though I enjoyed Batman v Superman's extended cut, and of course everybody knows that I'm a big Man of Steel fan, I wasn't a fan of Suicide Squad, and I think there are a lot of people who weren't, a lot of people who were, but I don't feel like the DC films have hit in the way that anyone had hoped that they would, and they certainly don't seem to have the kind of broad and like mass appeal that the Disney and Marvel cinematic universe has been able to enjoy. And while they've been financially successful, I feel like that financial success is on borrowed time if they don't start making movies that have a little bit more broad appeal. So hopefully, and I'm right there with you, Wonder Woman looks really good so far. And if she turns out to be the one that saves the DCEU from slipping into the dreaded reboot territory, then hey, Wonder Woman is now the greatest. Let's fully celebrate that. And I will be there opening weekend. I'll probably be sitting right there beside you, Kelly. I'm anticipating us watching this movie together.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing it myself.
And doing a, maybe we'll do a live cast. We haven't tried that yet, but it would be fun to experiment with that on social media. So you folks should definitely be following our Place to Be Nation Comics Facebook group, and you should also be following Kelly and I both on the Twitter machines. But we'll give you our handles later, because my most anticipated comic book movie 2017 is actually Logan. Because finally, an R-rated hardcore Wolverine movie. It's too bad that it's the last one for Hugh Jackman, but holy shit, does it ever look good.
Yeah.
That Red Band trailer, mind-blowing. I had chills, man. I get it every time I watch it. And I think it's the early contender for being the best comic book movie of the year. And I mean, that's a crazy thing to say right now, because no comic book movies have come out yet, and we got a long way to go to the end. And I know that it's crazy to say it, but I don't know. I just got this feeling that it's gonna, like last year, like 2016. You know, a lot of people considered Deadpool to be the best comic book movie that came out last year. I got a feeling that Logan is going to pull that for this year.
Yeah.
That it's that gritty, hard-hitting old man Logan story that I think people have been like clamoring for, you know, for maybe the better part of like 5-6 years, maybe more. Mm-hmm. Like we've been wanting to see something like this. And man, it looks like that pay cut that Hugh Jackman took to get that R rating, I think it's going to be worth it. I think it's going to turn out to be a movie that he and director James Mangold can be really proud of. I know that I know, Kelly, you're not as high on the Fox X-Men series as I am, but how have you felt about Hugh Jackman's turn as Wolverine, and What do you think about how Logan looks? Do you think they're on the right track here? Is this what you would hope to see out of an old man Logan movie?
Yeah, I think the film looks good. The trailer's really powerful. I think Hugh Jackman's done a good job playing the character. I can't always say that I've been happy with the material that he has been, you know, that has been placed on him to do. And it's not his fault at all. I mean, he does what he's given. But I think regardless of the material he's given, he does the best he can with it, and he, you know, he does a good job. And I think it'll be difficult to find somebody to replace him very quickly. You know,
it will. And I kind of hope that they don't go straight into recasting. You know, I know they've done that with the other X-Men characters by casting like younger versions and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I kind of hope that they just let Wolverine kind of ride off into the sunset for a while.
Yeah.
Let the character cool off. But like we said in the first half, a certain potential replacement character is going to be in this movie. Laura, X-23, will be making her feature film debut. Now, it's kind of interesting that she's making her first appearance. You know, she's a younger character in this film. And this obviously takes place in the far future, and it seems like, you know, all the mutants are dead except for Professor X, Logan, maybe a handful of others. But I have this sneaking suspicion that there's going to be some time travel involved in this, like in Logan, and that Laura may find herself time displaced at some point.
That's a possibility.
I mean, it wouldn't be X-Men without some convoluted time travel now, would it?
No.
So, that's just one thought that I had. I have no evidence to back it up. I'm just blindly speculating that if they really wanted to do it and they wanted to keep the current franchise going with a Wolverine-type character, that seems like the most viable option. And, I mean, time travel has already been introduced into this universe. I mean, they did Days of Future Past, for God's sake. And they did it well. Now, that all being said, Kelly, there are a lot of these comic book movies coming out. And there's a lot riding on a few of them, actually, for both Marvel and DC. So, if you had to look at one of these movies that's coming out, of all the comic book films, which one do you think has the most danger of failure?
Justice League.
Oh.
I hate to say, but Justice League does. Do I think it will? Do I think that it's going to fail? No, I don't. But at the same time, there's the Batman Superman film was really it was hit or miss with fans. And I think the Justice League film could fall in that same category. Could be, you know, a hit or miss film. And, you know, I have high hopes that it won't, I should say. But I do think that it could, you know. Have I been burned by DC? Yeah. You know.
Yeah, we both have at some point.
I can say Green Lantern. And, yeah. And, you know, there's the hugest burn. I mean, the biggest burn right there. And I, you know, Justice League is their big. This is, of course, their Avengers. This is their big collaboration with all their characters in one film.
I don't think they anticipated so much writing on it at this point, though.
Yeah. Well, if you go back and you look at Batman Superman, which I love the director's cut. I think the director's cut is a good, you know, that's what should have been thrown into films. That should have been thrown into theaters. But, you know, I've talked to a lot of people that didn't like it or thought it was meh, you know. And
Oh, same here.
And it's, you know, And they asked me, well, why did you like it? And I give them my examples of you know, what I took out of it. And you know, it's very mutual. I mean, it's very respectful. We all, I mean, you see the pros and cons of the film, and I can see their point, and they can see mine. But at the end of the day, it's what is your taste? What do you enjoy? What makes you, what entertains you? And that's what I'm hoping that they'll learn from Batman and Batman versus Superman with Justice League, and they will make it, make it the film that the Avengers was for Marvel, you know, and just be a blockbuster, you know.
Yeah. I mean, best case scenario would be that would be them making a Justice League movie that people would look at and say, "Wow, that's as entertaining as the first Avengers movie." But I think that true realm of possibility, I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
Mostly because it's a Zack Snyder film, and I think there are a lot of people who've already prejudged Justice League as being terrible.
Yeah.
Before it even comes out. I mean, and I agree with you, actually, that movie that seems most in danger of failure is Justice League, for a lot of the reasons that you suggested. But it's not because it's actually a mess, as some people have claimed. I think it comes down to perception. the perception that is out there that the movie is already a mess. I mean, we've seen that pop up a couple of times now. I don't know if it is or not. I mean, maybe. Could be. Some certainly said that Batman v Superman was a mess before it came out, though not quite this early into its post-production. And like you said, the extended cut of that is, you know, is pretty good. It's pretty good superhero drama. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think Batman v Superman is far more complex than Civil War will ever be.
Yeah.
And that was to its benefit and its detriment. But what it lacks is in the execution department, and it's easy to see why it would turn some people off. And and frankly, Justice League can't afford to be that. I mean, complexity is nice in a big action movie, but you know what else is? Simplicity and enjoyment.
Yeah.
And if the audience isn't enjoying it, you're screwed.
Yeah.
I mean, Batman... go ahead.
I was going to say, they need to take a page from what is working with their television counterparts, and they need to just recreate that on the big screen. I mean,
to a degree.
No,
I mean,
they could do more than a TV series can do. But I'm talking about just, you know, I'm not talking about anything other than just the feelings. Like, let's take Flash for instance, as one of the shows, I think, out of all of the CW DC comic book shows, I think Flash has the most heart and soul out of all of them, you know, and that's what Justice League needs. It needs that heart and soul that you every week you get that when you're watching the Flash and or watching Supergirl or whatever is you know your favorite show, and they need to just put something in there like that that'll bring the fan base there, and like you said, make it enjoyable, make it fun.
And you know, we were talking about Wonder Woman earlier, and I know that there is Wonder Woman's carrying more weight on her shoulders now because of the reception of Batman v Superman than probably they were anticipating. Mm-hmm. But even if Wonder Woman, let's say hypothetically, Wonder Woman is good. And that's awesome. That's going to make people... That's going to be a step in the right direction. Absolutely. But it won't be enough to like fully correct in some people's minds the things that aren't working in the DCEU. And a lot of those same people look at Justice League with a strong measure of skepticism simply because Zack Snyder is the director.
Yeah.
And that, and yeah, in my mind, that's unfair because Zack Snyder is capable of making really good movies.
Yeah.
And has proven yeah. that he can make good movies. But, I mean, his style does rub people, some people the wrong way. And I've never really understood that. I don't get why some people just don't like anything he does. And, yeah. I mean, he's never done anything that I thought was just offensively bad.
No.
At all. I've seen some of his movies I've liked more than others, yes. But this idea that he is just so terrible at making superhero movies just kind of flabbergasted me a little bit. Not even a little bit. A lot of it. But that's neither here nor there. But like I said, Justice League has a lot riding on it. It is the one that's going to have to really perform. And we're going to see in November how that goes. Now, that said, Kelly, if you had to predict which one of these movies you think is going to be the biggest hit, which one do you think is going to make the most money out of all the superhero movies coming out in 2017, which one do you think is the moneymaker, and why do you think it's going to work?
Probably Old Man Logan or Logan.
You think Logan is going to be the biggest moneymaker?
Yeah, just because, for one thing, you know, Deadpool blew the numbers out of the water, brought in more money than, you know, anybody expected, and made a lot of folks happy, and, you know, all of that good stuff. But of course it opened up the doorway to let us, you know, have Logan and have this last film. And, I'm just guessing that it's gonna, I mean, the Wolverine fans are going to come out. If you think there are Deadpool fans out there, that's one thing. But there are tons more Wolverine fans out there that are going to come out to see this film because they know it's rated R. He's literally going to be cut loose to do what he does. And I think, I don't know. That's my guess, you know.
Hey, fair enough. If that happens, I will be so freaking excited. I will lose my mind if Logan is the top grossing superhero movie of this year, because I actually think it's going to wind up being Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
I didn't think about that, but that would definitely be, if I had a, you know, a top two, that would be up there. That'd be number two. That's you got a very good point there.
I really don't see Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 not crossing the $1 billion mark. I mean, that first movie came out of nowhere, and this is already a hotly, hotly anticipated movie. No way it's not huge. Yeah. And that first trailer was great. I got to give it to Dave Bautista playing Drax again. That guy has got comedic timing for days.
Yeah.
I loved it. So very much anticipating that one. That's going to be a good movie, or at least it looks like it's going to be good anyway. Wonder Woman is as well. I think Wonder Woman is going to be a bigger hit than maybe some people expect it to be. At least I hope so. And the one that I'm kind of back and forth on is Spider-Man Homecoming, because that it looks good. That first trailer was really great. And it looks like they've got the tone, they've got the look and feel of this world. It feels like, you know, this version of Peter is very, like, classic Peter Parker, like classic high school Peter Parker, and I love that. And they're adding in some elements from the Ultimate Spider-Man universe, which is going to be pretty cool, specifically from the Miles Morales side of the house.
Yeah.
So hopefully that one's going to be good, but I've also heard plenty of people say that they're just sick of Spider-Man. And, you know, hey, fair enough. If you're not a Spidey fan, that's cool. You know, he's not going to be for everybody, but I don't know. I really like Tom Holland playing the role, and I think that this movie is going to be pretty good. I hope that if it's good, I hope that it's another billion-dollar franchise for Marvel and Disney. I hope they knock this one out of the park. And, of course, if I were to say my Dark Horse candidate for best superhero movie this year, probably Thor Ragnarok. Because there's something to that. I mean, this we haven't heard, like, everything about it, but now we know that it's a cross between the Ragnarok story and Planet Hulk. This is going to be, it's going to be a big movie. I don't know if it's going to be a huge hit with folks. I hope it is. I know some people were not as high on Thor the Dark World as others, but I think Thor Ragnarok could still wind up being a surprise hit for people. We'll have to keep a close eye on that one. But as far as my pick for biggest superhero movie of the year, yeah, it's going to be Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't see that it... I mean, it's got some real competition this year. Hopefully the DC movies really crank it up. But, man, Guardians is going to be tough to top when it comes to box office take, I think. Across all these movies, if there's one thing that I really need to happen, one thing that I really want to see happen in all and out of any of them, is I want to see that Green Lantern light power up in Justice League.
Yeah.
I want to see that glow, that green glow. Because if that hits in Justice League, I'm not going to be able to control myself. I'm going to come out of my seat and cheer. That's just gonna happen. that's the thing I most want to see happen in any one of these superhero movies. Of all the things that I need to happen in 2017, we need us some Green Lantern over in this DC film universe.
I agree.
Is there anything else that really needs to happen, though?
No.
I think that's it.
I think that's pretty much it.
I mean, unless a Legion ring suddenly shows up, and then you're just going to be like, "Oh, orgasm."
I will. That won't happen. But hey, you know, if it does, yeah. I mean, I would definitely be pumped to see something like that.
Kelly will go full gingergasm.
Yep.
And it'll be something to see. Oh God, I'm not sitting next to you for that. I'm gonna put a seat between just in case things get messy. Bring a raincoat, folks.
Gross.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm talking about you, man.
I know. I'm just... Yeah,
but you know how excited you'll get if you see anything Legion related in any one of these DC films. You'll be like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll be talking about it for a week. There'll be a whole podcast dedicated to nothing but did you see the Legion ring? I mean, your level of excitement over the Legion ring appearing in Supergirl was,
I mean,
could feel that from all these miles away. I could be like, Kelly is watching this right now.
Yes, the Legion ring and Supergirl just, perfect.
But that kind of brings us to the end of all the things that we're looking forward to in 2017. But I want to leave it with, one hope that I have for this year, because let's face it, we all as fans, we need to be better. We need to treat each other better, because last year I saw a lot of hate. There was a lot of hate in 2016. A lot of fans hating on each other, just being horrible for no good reason. A lot of people just disrespecting each other, trying to hole up in their own little bubbles and shut out those with differing ideas and opinions. And even some who, by all accounts, should be the best of friends, at best were barely acknowledging each other. And, speaking personally, I live in a place that feels very isolating. I only really get to interact with other comic fans through the online forums, through this podcast, through talking to you guys on social media, because a lot of the fans here, a lot of the comic book community where I live is so standoffish in person. And I know I'm guilty of taking things in this realm too seriously. And you know what? I do need to lighten up, because for God's sake, they're called funny books. We should be laughing about this. I should absolutely be able to laugh about these things and not take it so damn seriously. So that's what I'm going to resolve to do for the rest of this year. And from now on, not just the rest of this year, but just, permanently. I'm not saying I'm not going to stumble and wind up ranting every once in a while. Some of you seem to come here and enjoy that. I don't necessarily enjoy doing it, because it, gives me an ulcer. I think it's giving me an ulcer. But nobody wants to listen to somebody who doesn't have the ability to laugh at themselves once in a while. And you know what? I deserve to be made fun of for some of the stupid shit that I say. So, you know what, folks? I'm good with it. Let's make 2017 a better year. And there's so much for us to enjoy together, to laugh about, to make fun of, and to just straight up get excited about. And we've listed off a whole bunch of stuff in this episode that we hope you guys are going to be excited about, with the rest of us. And Kelly, speaking personally right to you, I feel like we've had a good first year of podcasting together, and I'm looking forward to even more ginger jokes as we go forward into 2017.
I look forward to it, too. I look forward to it as well.
We will pour us up a few drinks. We'll try to entertain you, and we hope you guys have enjoyed this edition, this look into 2017, and we'd love to hear what you're looking forward to in 2017. You can, like we said before, come onto the Facebook group, Place to Be Nation Comics. It's an open group. You guys can come in. You can tell us what's on your mind. Comment on these posts, on all the posts. Listen to all the great podcasts, not just ours. You can listen to the Hard Traveling Fanboys, a good one. Conversation Comics, Todd Weber. He's got a great series on the Chris Claremont and John Byrne X-Men, going with our good buddy Tim Capel. Of course, you want to check out Geek and Sassy. They just did a Doctor Who episode, actually. So if you're a Doctor Who fan, you guys want to check that one out. Jeannie and Miranda, as much as I clown on you, Miranda, I love you like a sister. You know that's true. And of course, Jenny, being the main host of that show, is killing it over there. They're having a great time. And of course, if you want to talk to us directly, you can. You can talk to us on Twitter. You can find me at Russell_Sellers on Twitter. You can find Kelly on Twitter at HKP2814. Add us, follow us, tell us what you think. We're dying to hear what you guys are looking forward to in 2017 in comics, TV, film, all of it. Come on there and tell us we're wrong about Gotham. We'd love to hear from you on that one too. I know I'm begging for for trouble there, but what the hell, why not? Next episode, we're going to do something completely different. We're going to be introducing the first of two brand new segments to this show, and I guess we can go ahead and tell them, Kelly, that it's a bit of a format change, because we, up to this point, or at least the last year's episodes, we talked about the books that we've been reading over the last couple of weeks and things that we've been watching on TV. Well, we've kind of decided that was taking up too much of the show. And sure, we're still going to talk about that stuff. We're going to talk about it in the show as it's relevant. But we feel like if you came to the show for whatever the theme of the show was about, that's what you came to hear. So that's what the show is going to be dedicated to. And we're going to start that with our very next show, the first edition of Rebooked, where we are going to take a look back at the 2011 Green Lantern film. We're going to talk about what worked in it, what didn't, mostly what didn't, and Kelly and I are going to pitch a way to make that movie better. That's right. We're rebooking it. as the name suggests. We're going to tell you what it would take to make that Green Lantern film work. And we hope you guys will enjoy the ideas that we put forward. And we're very much looking forward to getting into that show, along with all the other crazy and just outlandish things that we're going to try and do in 2017. But that brings us to a close for another edition of Sellers Points. Thank you guys for joining us. And Kelly, thank you again for being on the show, as always. Kelly is, of course, always here on the Sellers Points podcast. I'm Russell Sellers. We will see you guys next time.